verse number 11. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Here the second clause expands on the first. Sheol and Abaddon represent Hades and the invisible place of the world of torment. Dying and going to a place where you're in agony and in pain. If the Lord watches that and has prepared that for those who are wicked, and that place lies open and waiting, how much more is it lying open and waiting for those people whose hearts are against God? The immoral, wicked men. It is there and it is waiting. God's prepared it for those whose hearts are against the Lord. Verse 12, a scoffer, now that's also a scorner, does not love one who reproves him. A scoffer or scorner never loves to be corrected. Never loves to be corrected. And by the way, it doesn't matter how soft or gentle you speak to them. They do not want to be corrected. In fact, they are offended when you try to correct them of something that they have taught and they believe and how they are acting. They do not love to be reproved, but he will not go to the wise. It says he will not go to the wise. A scoffer and a scorner will not seek out someone to help them correct what is wrong with them. They will continue to go on in their ways, doing what they want to do because it's what they want to do, even if it's against the Lord. Verse 13, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. And that's true. When you're happy in your heart, you're happy on your face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Think of the heart and the face as the body and the soul. Okay, the heart's the soul, the face is the body. Think of that. If the body and soul is downtrodden, what is that doing to your spirit, body, soul, and spirit? The spirit is also broken. The spirit is also shattered. Now, I dare say that you cannot go a single week, and surely not a month, without having your heart broken and your face sad about something. It's going to happen. And your spirit is going to be broken and shattered about something because of the way you feel. When the heart hurts, when the face is sad, it affects everything in your life. But the Lord can help that. He can help that by knowing that joy comes in the morning. This may have been a bad day, but the sun's going to rise in the morning, and it can be a new day for joy that will come. Verse 14. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. Wise people continue to search for wisdom. Fools think they know everything about everything, and that's the way it's going to be. Ignorant people will often be satisfied that they know everything that they need to know. This belief is foolish if we believe that we know everything that we should know. Foolishness does not lead the ignorant to a place of true knowledge. Foolishness allows that fool to stay foolish. Solomon's correct. Verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Remember, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what happens today, this is going to be a continual feast of a day. Oh yeah, the days are going to have affliction. They're going to come, but I can still keep my heart cheerful, even though that sad things are happening, because I know that God, the Lord God, is in control. Verse 16, better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil within. For most of us, we are wealthier than some of the wealthiest people in the majority of the world. Even our poorest of the poor are wealthier than many of the people in the world. There are many people who sleep out under little huts and things like that with no air conditioning, no running water still in the world. They're depressed. They are afflicted in many, many ways. And yet, because of missionaries who've gone to see them and to visit them, they worship the Lord with a cheerful heart. And it brings a continual feast to them. For us, we need to realize that sometimes we, because of the way we are, we have bought ourselves out of the increase that we have into almost unhappiness, because the things that we have, although they are inanimate, control us because we have to take care of them. We don't have enough time to take care of them. Sometimes we have to understand that it's probably better to have just a little bitty house with the comforts that we are allowed to have here in America, and worship the Lord in truth and in spirit and in love, than it is to own everything in the world and be unhappy and be in turmoil. Verse 17. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened oxen and hatred with it. It's better to sit around the table. Well, let me back up. My grandmother was one of these ladies that she'd fix vegetable soup. If anybody needed a meal, you know what she would do? She'd just go add a little water to the soup. They were always welcome at the table. And she loved them all. And people would go get that soup. And she always had crackers. I think they were eating more crackers than they were vegetables. Just something to fill them up. But there was love. And everybody loved my grandmother. And I loved my grandmother Hastings too. Incredible. It's kind of interesting how she was special to me in one way, and she was very special to my sister in another way. And you would think we were from two different families talking about two different people. But we both felt love from her. Incredible. And so did everybody else. Everybody felt love from my grandmother Hastings. It's better to have love with a little bitty vegetable soup than it is to have a whole banquet with gold white linens and gold, silver, and everything, and everybody around the table hates each other, I should say. And I've sat at those tables. I have been at those meetings and those family gatherings where there wasn't a person around the table who liked each other. Oh, but we had to be there because it was Thanksgiving. Oh, we had to be there because it was Christmas. And the family wasn't getting along. Solomon's correct. Verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. That's a hothead. You know what a hothead is? Yeah. But the slow to anger pacifies contention. He's used this theme regularly. A hot-tempered person will almost in every situation make the situation worse. But a person who is slow to anger, that doesn't mean he's not angry. Remember, James says, be angry, but do not sin. You may be angry, but you keep that anger subsided. And you answer with a gentle and a soft word. And that will almost always pacify the contention that is there. Verse 19, the way of the sluggard. Remember, a sluggard's a person who just lays around and does nothing and doesn't like to work. That's how Solomon has described a sluggard. The way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. For people who don't want to work, who want to live on welfare, it's like I got a persimmon in my mouth today. The path is always going to be thorny and difficult. Always trying to find somebody else to give them something. And of course, what happens is a person will give it, and then the next time they'll give it, and they'll finally say, listen, this well's dry. You're going to have to go someplace else. It's thorny and difficult. But for the person who is upright and righteous, the pathway is smooth. The crooked ways are made straight. The rugged ways are made like a paved highway. Verse 20, A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Now, back in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, and that's the proverb that starts the Proverbs. Chapters 1 through 9, Solomon is trying to convince Rehoboam not to do certain things. It's a conversation. But starting in chapter 10, verse 1, these proverbs are one proverb right after another. They don't even really go together. You can pull any one of them apart, and they fit the situation. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1, it said, a wise son makes a father glad, just like the beginning of this one. But a foolish son is a grief to his mother. In other words, a foolish son grieves his mother. That's what he does to his mother. He grieves her. Well, in this one, in verse 20, it says, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. The other was a foolish son grieves his mother, and now that son has grown up and he despises his mother. So in one thing, it's what he makes her do. In this last one here, it's how he feels about his mother. Despises her, grieves her. That's the fool. Do you know what day of the year the Texas prison system handles the most mail? Mother's Day. Do you know, think about that. Those sons who are in prison have grieved their mothers. And they're not so foolish anymore because they realize they've grieved their mothers. Do you know what the lowest mail day in the year is from the prison system? Father's Day. That's right. Because most of them don't know who their father is one of the reasons. You can't write to a father that you don't know is your father. But they know who the mother is. Very few prisoners despise their mothers because they've learned not to be fools about that. They've grieved their mothers and they hate that they've hurt their mothers, and therefore they write to their mothers. Verse 21, folly is joy to him who lacks sense. Folly is joy to a person who lacks, let's go do this. Oh, yeah, let's go do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. Let's do that. Oh, that'll be fun. Let's go to this bar. Let's go to that. Let's go to the beach. Let's do this. Let's do that. Doing all sorts of wickedness. And it's fun to them. But a man of understanding walks straight. Walks straight. The fool's heart is void of the truth, and he enjoys the crooked paths. He enjoys the obstructed paths. So here's the latest one. Just going to give you an example. A few weeks ago, a very popular man on TV decided that he's going to tell the world that he is transgender. And now, on one of these stations that has reality TV, they are coming on with, now I have seen three advertisements for three shows that are promoting, are going to promote real life TV, you know what that means, okay, for transgender, three transgender people. One is a teenager, one is a woman, and one is a man. One is a teenage boy who's acting like a woman. One is a male who's acting like a woman, man. And one is a woman who's acting like a man. Okay? The fools love and enjoy that stuff that does not make sense. Since that popular person made his statement, the fools are going to have a heyday and make lots of money off of this crooked and wicked path. They jump on it. The man of understanding, I hope you will turn those shows off so they do not get ratings to keep them on. Remember, if your TV is on and it's on that station, they know who you are, and they know what you're watching, and they know whether you're enjoying it or not because you keep watching it. Turn it off. They also know how long you keep your TV on. So if you happen to have on your TV on one of those stations, I would change it to something else so that it, your vote doesn't get counted to keep that type of crooked and evil stuff on TV. Garbage, that's a good word for it, garbage. They need help between their ears because they are tormented in their mind. Verse 22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. We've seen this in 11:14. We're going to see it in 20:18. We're going to see it 24:6 in those verses. Solomon is reaching out and saying, look, every person needs advice. Every person needs approval for the things they're doing. Every person needs some guidance. Let me tell you this. Go try, if you live in the city of Houston, go try to renovate your bathroom without going down and asking for the advice and permission of City Hall and see what happens to you. They'll let you finish the bathroom before they come in. Then they will penalize you, charge you a penalty for not having a permit, and then they'll make you tear it out and rebuild it. A person in my 11 o'clock class just wanted to move one wall, 1 foot, to give them a little extra room in a bathroom. It's going to cost them $2,000. Well, the penalty and the new permit cost about $2,000, and the inspector made them tear it all out and put it all back in just like it was. So it cost them three times. Seek the counsel and get the permissions that you need. That's what a wise person does. A foolish person says, oh, they'll turn their heads. They won't see. We'll get it done before they ever even know. Just watch. God has an interesting way of making sure that His children get caught. Verse 23, a man has joy in an apt answer. And how delightful is a timely word. Now listen, this proverb actually addresses both the person who is giving the answer and the person who's receiving the answer. When a man gives a good short answer, correct answer, it's a joy. And the person who receives it, it's a joy to him too. You know, I was the wrong person for you to come seek counsel on, because you'd come say, okay, so-and-so has died. What do I need to probate this? And then I'd just start telling you. And about an hour and a half later, the list was so long, you're going, I don't think I can get this done. Now you come in, I say, okay, step one is this. Do this and come back and see me. Now this is step two, and you can do it that way. You come in and say, hey, I need help with my budget. I used to tell you the whole nine yards. Now I just tell you one thing. Here's what you need to do. Go do this, and as soon as you get it, get an appointment back in here and come see me again, and I'll tell you step two. Then I'll send you off, and when you're through with it, come see me at step three and step four. Because if I hand you a whole list of things to be done, you'll look at that and think, I can never get that done. Okay, so I'm learning, too, to give you an apt answer, a quick one answer to get you down the path quickly. And then you accept it, too, and go, I can do that. But if I give you 15 things to do, you're going to go, okay, how do I do these in order? He's telling me to do these in order. Or is he telling me to do these in order? Can I just get one done at a time? How do I do these things? A wise person will give you an apt answer quickly. And I have to work on that. Verse 24. The path of life leaves upward for the wise, that he may keep away from Sheol below. Now, I know what I've written here, but I'm going to tell it to you a different way because I thought of a different way to tell it to you. If you step in an elevator in eternity, either going up or going down, which way do you want to go? Up. If you're a righteous person, you step on that elevator, you want to go up. You don't want to go down to Sheol. You don't want to go down. Sheol and Hades are the same place. You don't want to go down. You want to go up. And a wise path of a wise person leads up. Verse 25, the Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Now, widows seem to be an easy prey of all those proud, evil people that are out here. Here's the latest one. Some of you have probably have already heard this. I've already said it to you once, but I'm going to say it to you again, because in my 8 o'clock class, the first time I said it, nobody had heard about it. This morning when I said it, everybody had heard about it. You receive a phone call from a person that says, "We have information, have received confirmation that you're having difficulties with your computer." And we were, you got that phone call. You sure did. You poor little, you're acting like you're a little old widow because they're making prey on you. Do you know what the rest of that is? If you will set it out on your front porch, they will pick it up and take it away and fix it for you. Most of us are not getting to that point with them. We're going, "I don't have a computer," whatever. My answer was, "What kind of computer do I have?" Because I was being smarty. "What kind of computer do I have?" And they said, "Well, sir, we just got a report." I said, "Oh, no, tell me what kind of computer I have." And they said, "Sir, we don't know what kind of computer I have." I said, "Okay, you tell me what kind of computer I have. If you're telling me you got a report, then your report knows what kind of computer I have." They said, "Sir, we don't." I said, "Listen." They said, "Well, you've got a PC." I said, "No, I'm a Mac person." And he hung up on me. Evidently, they don't want Macs sitting out on their front porch for them to come pick up. But that's what happened to my mother-in-law. Set her computer out on the front porch and they will pick it up and fix it for you. Proud, wicked people preying on the weak and the widows or widowers. Can you believe that? They set their eyes on those people who are unable to always think straight and always make wise decisions. How sad that is. We've only got a few more minutes. Let's go ahead and finish this real quick. Verse 26, evil plans are an abomination to the Lord. Okay, wicked are an abomination. The way is an abomination. Now, evil plans are abomination to the Lord, a stench in his nostril. People get up every day and think, "How can I steal from somebody like a little old widow? How can I get them to pass on something?" Like, can you believe that? And then the other side is wicked plans are an evil thing to the Lord, abomination. But for the Lord, pleasant words are pure. Those are not an abomination of the Lord. The Lord is pleased with them. Verse 27, he who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Profits illicitly. That's what the purpose here is to say, okay, this guy is feeding his house with things where he's stolen. He's done something wrong. He's been used a bribe or whatever to get food for his house. And then he's going to get arrested. He gets put in jail and he really brings trouble upon his house. But the person who hates bribes, who hates doing things that are illicit to try to feed his family, that person is going to live and that family is going to do better because the Lord is going to bless it. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Whenever you hear something and you're not quite sure how to answer, you take time, you ponder it, you say, "Lord, Lord, what should be my answer on this?" Not so with the fools. The fools start telling you, "Well, if it was me, I'd do this," or "If it was me, I'd do that," or "If it was me, you do this, and you do this, and I'll do that. I may not always be right, but it doesn't take me long to make an answer, and I'll get an answer pretty quick. Man, I may pay for it later, but I'm going to answer it right now. I'm going to do it." Wrong attitude, ungodly attitude. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Listen, he doesn't say that he doesn't hear the prayer of the wicked. He's just far away from the wicked. In other words, he is allowing the wicked to do what he's doing because he is all knowing, he's all seeing, he's all powerful. He hears the prayers of the wicked. He hears when they call out to him. But unless they call out to him with the correct heart, he is not going to answer their prayers. He is not going to be there. He's going to be at a distance from him. Verse 30, bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. I guess you can figure out I've had a lot of good news in my life. And so have some of you. Bright eyes. Solomon is indicating that nonverbal and verbal encouragement uplifts and brings joy to others, both physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Just, you know, sometimes I go by, I never will forget, there's a family in our church, and there's a woman who I walked up to not too long ago and said, "Well, hello, Mrs. So-and-so." And she looked at me, she said, "You know my name." And I went, "Yes, I do." You know, and I'm thinking, oh, my soul, I got a thank you card from her for knowing her name. It made her year. And she's still floating around. And every time she walks by me, she goes, Dr. Hastings, you still know my name? Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, we got a sin problem here. About, maybe, no, that's not the truth. But, you know, I'm just thinking about that. She's so excited. It makes her day. If that little word of encouragement is all you need, put your name tag on. I'll call every one of you by name every week if you just got a name. Yeah, Mr. Hogg and Mrs. Hogg and the Monroes and all and the weeds. Yeah. I have to get a weed eater for them back there. What was your name before it was weed? Pachick. Weed's a whole lot shorter. Verse 31. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. In other words, that's a counter to the fool will not take reproof. But a wise person will take the reproof and will grow. Verse 32, he who neglects discipline despises himself. But he who listens to reproof acquires knowledge. Following the last verse. It's very interesting here because he uses a different word for the word discipline than he's ever used in the book of Proverbs. This is a different word. Where the other meant training, this means moral correction. Here the word means moral correction, which indicates that a person despises himself as well as the Lord and brings harm to himself because of his rejection of the Lord. If he'll listen, he'll acquire understanding. Verse 33, and we'll be through. The fear of the Lord, which is the worship of the Lord, is the instruction for wisdom. And before honor comes humility. Now back in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, Solomon indicated that worship of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And here Solomon says, when you go to worship the Lord, the worship of the Lord actually teaches a person and thus bestows upon him added wisdom. Every time you come to hear the word taught and go to worship the Lord, you're adding to your wisdom and to understanding. In fact, Solomon is saying here that when you go to worship the Lord, you should go and worship him in humility. By the way, if you're coming to church for any other reason than the following two reasons, which I'm fixing to give to you, you are coming to church for a wrong reason. Number one reason is you're coming to worship him, not to be entertained. It doesn't matter if the drums are too loud. It doesn't matter if the guitar is too loud. It doesn't matter if the band is out of tune. It doesn't even matter if the preacher doesn't even hit a ball when he gets up to at all, or and he strikes out when he gets up to preach. When he gets up to preach, doesn't mean he's going to hit a home run every time. Sometimes you'll walk out of there thinking, I didn't understand a single word he said. Must have been good, but I didn't understand anything. But I worshiped the Lord while I was there. Number two is you come to hear instruction from God's word. If you're coming for any other reasons than those two reasons, you need to reevaluate your relationship with the Lord, because this is not a place for social interaction only. This is a place to do two things. Worship the Lord in wisdom and in truth, and to learn about him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time just to worship you and to spend time learning about those things that you have put in our scripture as our instruction manual. In your name, amen and amen.